So first, just stand. And the lesson goes back and forth between each leg, so you decide which one to start with, but otherwise, stand on the right leg and take the left foot a little bit backwards. So it's just the left leg is a little bit on the toes. And then if you're not using a chair, bring the left arm upward. Unless, you know, feel free to kind of do what he says, which is the right hand, but also feel free to experiment with what I say, which is the left one. So it's a little bit the hand is in front of the eyes. And then slowly, turn the foot that you're standing on so that you're once more on the outside edge, once more on the inside edge, but by moving the foot, right? So you actually lift once the inside edge and once the outside edge, and you do it slowly, and just notice how much weight do you or do you not start putting immediately on that poor little toe or big toe behind. Okay. So just inside and outside edge. And so the hand, don't let the hand limp down. So it's really at eye level, not shoulder level, eye level, or maybe even a tiny bit above eye level, tiny bit, eyebrow level. Great. Okay. And then a few fast movements. Flip, flop, 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 flip, flop. And see if you can keep your head more or less somewhere there stable. Fast. Good. Leave that and walk on. Good. Come to a place. Come to a place. Maybe you can do musical chairs, right? They can stop in front of somebody else's chair and they can... Good. And same thing. So the left toes are behind. You're standing on the right foot. If you're not using a chair, then the left hand comes forward. And just keep watching that it's really a little bit above, because that little bit above... Look, you're primed to have your chest and everything follow, right? Good. And now, shift your weight so that you're once on the heel and once on the ball of the foot. And actually, you lift. You lift the heel to go on the ball of the foot, and then you lift the front of the foot to go on the heel. Like you're rocking yourself forward and back. And if at all possible, please hold your breath with all your might.
That's the only thing I'm doing right.
That's right. Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. Good. And can you leave the head in place, or is your head going forward, back? Uh-huh. Can you leave the head in place? Ooh. You can bend the knee. It's okay. Nothing says that that hand, that that leg has to be straight. Okay. You can bend. Okay, quickly. Uh-huh. And nothing says that the hip joint has to stay in the same place. It can go forward and back, as long as the head stays more or less in the middle. Voila. Yes. Excellent. Good. Take another walk. Take another walk. Find a spot to stand, and now the other foot. So you're standing on the left, the right toes go back, and bring the right arm forward unless you're using a chair. And just keep watching. Look, just even, so you're standing on the left, the right toes are behind, and as you bring the right arm forward, the right hand upward, forward and up, just notice what is the difference in the whole organization of the chest, the belly, the back, when you go a little bit higher and look at it. See, you're totally primed after all these ATMs and this morning's ATM for this volume of the chest, not to arch back, but to be long, right? To be long from the coccyx up to the top of the head. And then you take, once you lift the inner edge, once you lift the outer edge of the left foot, inner edge. And you don't have to like see it directly, just see it with your peripheral vision so you can keep looking forward, right? So you can keep looking forward. So inner edge, outer edge, and again, see, can you keep your head more or less where it is? So you got a hips. Great. And of course there's the question of knowing if you're really doing what you think you're doing, but later, walk. Do only the number of movements that there's something is being discovered, right? Don't turn this into a survival thing. Okay, same standing. So you're on the left foot, the right toes are behind. One arm is forward, a little bit the hand is at eye level, so the arm is above shoulder level. And now you shift your weight onto the heel of the left foot and then onto the ball of the foot. Without, you know, more or less keeping your head where it is. And you can bend the knee, you can take the hip joints backward. You can bend the knee and sometimes straighten the knee. But it's really helpful to think of the bottom of your pelvis. Not, I mean the bottom, just the perineum, the flat part of the bottom, but I mean the whole cylinder of that small pelvis, right? That whole cylinder. Right? As Moshe says a little bit later on, you'll feel something happening between the legs. Okay, yeah, there you go. That's it. Walk. So again, stand. You're standing on the right leg, and the left toes are behind. And lift one arm in front. So you're standing on the right leg, left toes in front. Make sure the arm is this. And now lift. So now we're going into this lifting of the back leg. So that is. That'll be the whole ATM will be punctuated with it, but with the leg more or less straight. And don't get up on the toes, don't get up on anything on the right leg, but just find whether if you can let the sitting bone, let the small pelvis go with the leg, whether you get this slight push upward, and maybe you'll find that you go a little bit forward, right? You go a little bit forward and up. Through the as if we look at our colleague here who continues to move, it's as if we imagine that she has a cylinder inside her. So when she lifts the leg, this whole cylinder moves a little bit forward and gets longer and supports the head. Okay? So the neck stays long, but the head kind of goes a little bit forward. Okay, take a few steps. Find a place to stand. And same thing, you stand on the right leg, the left one is behind, you keep the toes on the floor, bring one arm up, and this hip joint, right, is a right hip joint, you take the ball and the cup, the whole sphere, a little bit forward and back. So yes, of course, your weight will shift on your foot, but now the idea is that it's the hip joint that you're taking forward and back. And watch that your arm is up, but you're looking at it too. And can you make the movement faster? Maybe smaller, but faster. Smaller, but faster. With the head staying more or less where it is. Good. Leave that. Go for a walk. Find a place to stop. Standing on the right leg, left toes behind, arm up, in such a way that it inspires you. It's not quite like you're reaching for something, but there's a mood, right? There's this mood of something. And now take that hip joint left and right. Take that hip joint left and right. The hip joint left and right. The right one. So the left leg, keep it straight. Because once you bend it, then you can really go a lot, right?
What are we keeping straight? Just the left leg?
The left knee, yeah, the left leg stays straight, and you're moving the right hip joint, both will move, but you're really thinking of moving the right one left and right, not to the degree that your head has to move, that you can still keep your head. And for some, moving it to the outside is a lot easier than moving it to the inside. So move it to the inside as well. So when you move it to the inside, what you might find is that actually, your pelvis goes to the left, but maybe it has to get a little bit higher on the left side. Right? Let's get a little bit higher on the left side. Okay. Quickly? Anybody? Quickly? Yes, some have. Some have. Ooh, watch the head when you go quickly. For some people, it's actually easier to keep the head still when you go quickly, and others, all of a sudden, get a little shake up in the brain, walk around.
I'll let a bit of air in the room. You're looking hot.
Okay, find a place to stand, and stand on the right leg, put the left one behind, put one arm in front, and see, after these few little things, how is it to lift the leg behind? And begin to imagine something very specific about that standing leg, because you've got the leg, you have the foot, you have the long bones, but you also are doing something silly, which is you're balancing on a ball. You're balancing with a cup on a ball. So can you create that image, right? So if you want to really be stable, it's very helpful to be on the highest point of that ball. Otherwise you'll slither or roll off, either forward or back. But watch now, can that hand still be the inspired uplifter of the spine? Yeah. Walk around. Yeah. Yes, I'm talking about the other one has that too.
That's what I was
but it's a standing leg that you actually are doing this sort of strange thing. Yeah. Good. And stand on the left leg with the right toes behind. Bring one arm forward and up so that the hand is a little bit above eye level and you just have this slight sense of some kind of forward and up. And maybe, and lift the back leg. See how it lifts or how you lift it. And where you, so there's the lifting and what happens with the pelvis and the coccyx and the sacrum and where the head goes, but there's also where do you, on which place on the ball do you balance on the left side? Okay, stand a minute, just put everything down. And again, left foot, right toes behind, one arm up to indicate to you this upwardness. And now, maybe shift first left and right, your left hip joint. But think of it not just as like some area that you're more or less, but really imagine how does the cup swivel around the ball while at the same time the ball's moving through space, right? So it's not as though, is the pelvis swiveling on the ball of the femur? So if you take the right side backward, then you're adding an element. So when you're shifting to the inner edge, in other words, when you're shifting your hip joint to the right, it's not turning the pelvis, but the right side of the pelvis has to lift a little bit, doesn't it? Yeah. That would be useful to look at a skeleton maybe to get some images. Can you feel that the pubic bone, that whole ridge of bone from the pubis along the adductors, let's see which leg, you're standing on the left leg, so on the left side, it goes closer to the femur and then goes further away from the femur, no? Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, of course. So the pubic bone, but not just the point of the pubic bone, but that whole ridge of bone, this whole ridge of bone that we see, right? This whole ridge of bone from the pubis to the sitting bone to which the adductors attach is if I'm standing on the left leg and I shift the hip joint to the left, what happens is one side of the pelvis drops and the other, it lifts by default, and that whole ridge of bone gets closer to the femur. And so I can imagine that the cup of acetabulum is in a particular relationship to the head of the femur. And then when I shift my hip joint to the right, that means inwardly, then that bone, the pubic ridge bone, actually moves a bit away from the femur. And then the other one lifts, yes. Right? So there's not just a side-to-side movement, because it's not like moving a vase on a flat table. Mm-hmm. But everything's connected, so everything's going to move in arcs, plus we're moving on a ball and not on a flat surface. So that becomes really interesting to consider, how the pubic bone, that ridge, shifts in relation to the head of the femur, even though the head of the femur is also moving. And you can imagine that movement, that action, could be a really good one to regain for balancing. Because then what you're doing is you can make adjustments really close to the axis where the weight goes through into the leg. So if I can adjust close to the axis where the action happens, that intelligently, that's really probably better than flailing out here distally or peripherally. No? Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So, whichever, where were you? You were on the left, standing on the left. The right toes were behind. Yeah, the arms in front. Use the chair, don't use the chair. Yeah, like this. And then see what images you can, see if those some of those ideas you can turn into a kind of attention inside yourself that makes your action not only clearer and more precise, but sort of more visualized, right? More understood. That's it. Yeah. It's looking clear for many a folk. Right. Yeah. So even for you, who was actually had a very clear idea of the hip joint going in and out, right now it's almost like the axis of motion has dropped down lower. Oh. Looks like, yeah. Yeah.
Like, in other words, where is the axis?
Well, okay, no, it just looks like, it looks like your center of gravity has dropped.
Oh, okay,
we dancers speak this sort of very imprecise language, right? Mm-hmm. So like the center of gravity has dropped. So it seems like the movement is coming from below rather than from something up higher. So this is, again, in pursuit of having the pelvis available for movement from below the hip joints. When the small pelvis moves in relation to the legs, which means that the displacement of mass is therefore more around the center axis rather than moving from the larger distal parts, because the large parts will follow the small parts on it. Walk around. Find a spot to stop, and again, you're standing still on the left leg, the right foot is behind, and now the hip joint goes forward and back. So how do you visualize that in terms of the cup and the ball? And that you can really sort out how parts of the small pelvis, the pubic bone, the tailbone, and those two adductor ridges of bone, how they kind of swing, right? Under and behind. Swing forward and back. Yeah, and just watch the hands so that you can still stay really uplifted here. Yeah. Good. Excellent. Stand a moment on the two legs. Then stand on the left, put the right foot behind, and see, stand on the left, as you've been doing. Is that what you've been doing?
Yeah.
Put the right foot behind and see how it is to lift. Arm up and see how it is to lift the right foot, the right toes from the ground. Huh? Mm. Yeah. Good. All right. Walk around and we're going to go on a bit, so if you'd like to have a rest sitting or lying down for a moment, we'll grab a mat and do that.
Now we understand better what you want from us. Now we understand better
yes.
what you want from the first.
From the first, yes, yes, exactly. That's right, yeah. Which only goes to prove our methodology, doesn't it? That the person who's guiding it can have an image and an expectation, but unless you person has taken the steps that makes that possible, then it's really hard to do. Mm-hmm. Okay, please come to stand again. And stand on the left leg, or the right leg, sorry, the right foot, the right leg. Put the left toes behind. And bring one arm forward and up. And again, as you lift the toes from the ground, just note whether what happens in the ribs above the waist, right? The small ribs above the waist. That part of the back can stay filled out, right? Filled out is if the head, as is for everybody here, goes a little bit forward and up. What I showed with our colleague, right? Is if the whole some kind of inner cylinder or inner roller moves forward enough. So there's no arching back, right? The shoulders don't go back. The head doesn't go back. So those ribs, these ribs above the waist, don't get pushed forward because the lifting doesn't come from taking the shoulders back and the head back, but from getting long and tall and a tiniest little bit going forward enough. And for you all, that's happening out of everything else that we've done these days, plus your own understanding. But just to appreciate, so maybe a time or two, wreck it on purpose. You know, lift exactly. Do this kind of global extension. Mm-hmm. Yeah? Which when you're, for instance, lying on the floor and doing an ATM where you have long arms and legs and you're asked to lift, the diagonal arm and leg. That's a global extension. But this is a different kind of thing. So stand on the left and take the right toes back. But it's not so self-evident, you know. So everything we've done, even with these half kneeling ATMs, of really keeping that inner almost like a cylinder of the same length and not going into global extension, has really set up that length in which the support comes not from extension, but comes from really an inner, deeper limb. Yeah. And I'll tell you, I would rather watch this for hours than some ballet. So go ahead and walk around. That's really grace. Mm-hmm. And would you find another spot? And where there's a left and right and a forward and back, there's always a circle. So stand on the right leg, unless you would prefer the other. Bring one arm up, the toes are behind. And so you make a circle around or with or around, what shall we say, the right hip joint. The right hip joint. Right hip joint. While the, so actually it's like the pelvis makes a circle around the ball of the femur, but your leg is moving too, right? So the femur is moving. So somehow literally the hip joint, which is the space, also moves back. And so be attentive that it's a circle, which means that the back part happens as well. The back part. That's right, because it's when that goes back, guess what comes a bit more forward? The base of the neck. So how, take all the pauses that you need, all the breaks, but how do you drive your own attention into this zone where you will never be able to see and really move the relationships internally and then in relation to your foot and in relation to space without just somehow taking your pelvis around haphazardly, right? You can make a circle like you're dancing just with the pelvis, or how do you make it from inside, from really, yeah. And the back part, the back part, the back part. There you go. And the forward side, back. That's it. As if when that hip joint goes back and the head stays forward and up, the only way that that can happen is you get even longer. It's holding your head and you just go, that's it. The back part, that's it. So I don't know. Then maybe that's also getting really familiar where you are on your heel. Where you are on your heel. Back and to the right. That's it. There you go. That part back and yes, that's it. Uh-huh. Isn't it? It's like, it's so possible to just make a circle and it's still a circle, but somebody from the outside can see like, you can go a little bit more there. So just stand or go for a walk or sit on a chair.
The white spot is moving. The inner white spot that I had at the beginning is...
The inner white, you mean white is unclear, yeah, like fog. Yeah. Fog, yes. Yeah.
It's less white.
I always like when Moshe says the parts that are opaque, like that you can't see through, you can't see into, you can't see out of. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, the walk, there's... the leg that swings through, but there's the leg that you stand upon. If you have not reversed the circle on that right leg, then do that. If you have, bide your time. And it's happening in this sort of softly heroic pose. We're softly looking out to sea. I don't know what it is, but there's a... And hopefully that wholeness that some of you described after the morning where we did 459 can serve you here. And of course, you know, he doesn't bring clocks into this. This would be a little watch if you had one. But that's very helpful to catch the little parts of the circle that are not really a circular. That's right. Good. Great. And then take a few steps and then stand again on the right leg and just lift the left one behind. But take a few steps first. Thank you. it can be quite pleasurable to actually feel like you get taller all by yourself from lifting a leg rather than get longer through the whole inner core rather than because you shorten someplace. Right. Walk around. Then, of course, you are standing on the left with the right toes behind and one arm upward as a beacon to you. And then lift and he, you know, again, there are certain things that he said which I haven't because it's all happening already. But as you lift, you know, I've been talking about this sort of almost inner cylinder. He talks about the length from the standing heel all the way through to the back of the head. Or from kind of inside the ankle of the standing heel along the front of the leg and the pubic bone, the breastbone, all the way to the head. Yeah? So there are also these sort of surface lengths that are connected, surface holes, where if you orient your attention, it maybe refines something a little bit.
Can you say that again?
Yes. From the standing heel, a length through to the back of the head, right? The length between the head and the heel.
Yeah, but
in the morning ATM, right, when you said you stand on the leg, and you feel like, whoa, the leg goes down, right? So it's that kind of directionality. And a length from the standing heel to the top of the head. And then from the front, somehow from the front, I don't know, he doesn't make it specific, but I want to get to the floor, so I go from the inside of the ankle, right, along the front of the leg, and then pubic bone, xiphoid, breastbone, and to our colleagues, wonderfully, wishfully, lift the head. Mm-hmm. Right? That's just, so those are lengths, just like these lengths. And then, that's not enough. There's the length from the lifted heel all the way through to the top of the head. So these orienting, lengthening lines. Yeah. And that's even before you made circles around the hip joint. Go ahead and walk around.
That's really helping the trajectory for the balance.
To have that as this, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, you know, that again, it's what do we do with our conscious thinking? We set up the image, and then the brain organizes the inputs into the musculature in terms of inhibition or activation in a way that the action becomes even more clear.
Yeah.
And that cooperation between the conscious creation of the image, but not the conscious creation of some kind of a length. Okay? So again, stand on your left leg, the right toes behind, and then a circle of, in, and around the left hip joint. That means the space of the hip joint, as well as the objects within that hip joint, the ball of the femur and the socket of the cup of the acetabulum. And it's not even so much how big the circle is, but how clear, because somehow out of that circularity we could plausibly assume that the brain is figuring out where the middle of the circle is, right? The middle of the dome, it's not really a circle, it's not flat anyway, right? It's already domed. And as Moshe says, you feel something moving between your legs, and that something is the bones of the small pelvis.
Well,
okay. feel free to change directions or to take a pause that will allow you to catch your breath. And if it's possible, watch. I mean, it is possible to watch if your arm is migrating downward. If it's possible to then, once it's dropped, to relift it, do. Okay? Happening everywhere. It's like, especially as the focus, right? Your intention and your attention is so much down. But then also, can you have those lines from the heel to the head, from the back, from the front? And then either just stand or take some steps before you lift the leg again. Just, stand again on the left with the right behind, the inspired uplift eyes and hand. And so maybe establish lines from the heel to the back of the head, from the front, from the ankle, on the left, up, and then through the pubis, the breastbone, neck, and then the length from the lifted heel to the back of the head. And walk around. Remember, one part in my dance training where on one leg I could not hold balance. So at one point, out of total desperation, I thought, okay, I'm going to stand in solidarity with anything that's up and tall. Trees, buildings. I just sort of like massively flooded my brain with images of things standing up and down, and it worked. I went, ooh, this is good. Mm-hmm.
I'm sort of having trouble with the image, whether it's like a ring around Saturn, like parallel to the floor,
no.
Or more than a block ring. All that kind of thing, okay.
It's a cup.
But it will obviously the pelvis would tilt more this way than it will this way. So it feels like it's more like, or like this.
Play with that. I'll do the easy answer. Yeah, see how it is to sit if you were not schlumping but actually sitting. We could put a nice basket on top of your head filled with plums and it would reach market. It would reach market. So now, in terms of balance, you know, so we're really refined the adjustments of the pelvis on the legs, very axis close, right, to where the weight comes through the spine into the sacrum, either more to one leg or more to the other leg, right? Now, let's go where into the place that we started, which is the ankle. So come stand up. Put whichever toes behind. And just, what did we do? Shift, lift the inside edge and outside edge. Yeah, lift one arm. And then lift once the inside edge, once the outside edge. Just note whether there's some difference, which you might even be able to say something about or hope somebody else does. I would say don't take the other arm back because then it turns you back. So leave the shoulders forward. Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. Go. And by the way, is your head standing still by itself? Much more easily. Yeah, good. Then forward and back. So back on the heel and forward on the toes, and you can bend the knee when you come up on the when you lift the heel, you can bend the knee. When you... With the weight on the front foot. How's that? Is somehow the ankle, the knee, the hip joint more responsive while you can stay long. Okay, walk around. And same on the other leg. So inner outer edges are the lifties. The lifties are the inner and outer edges. So the relationship between these movements of below the ankle joint, and if the hip joints are free in relation to the small pelvis, you can get a lot more cooperation between the foot and the pelvis and the hip joints without disrupting these larger masses above. Forward and back. Forward and back, that means onto the ball of the foot where you lift the heel, and then back onto the heel where, back to the heel, does that hip joint go backward? Alright, yes. Uh-huh. Excellent. Ooh. Walk around. A bit more fun to be had.
I feel like a giraffe
with long legs.
Like a giraffe with long legs. Thank God you don't have to drink from the river. You know what I think is a cruel reality of either creation or a cruel reality of evolution, that a bird with a short neck has 14 vertebrae and a giraffe has 7. And that's really cruel.
What's that again?
Birds have, the only thing I know about birds is they have wings, they have beaks, and they have 14 cervical vertebrae in their necks. 14. That's just why they can turn so much. Whereas a giraffe, poor thing, has only 7. Not very nice. If a giraffe could be a bird, it would have, at least it would have 14 cervical vertebrae, you know. It got created in the wrong species. Okay, now a bit more fun to be had. So stand on one leg, your choice. And by the way, lift the other one, bring the arm up and just see how that is, hope it's not deteriorated. And then see whether you can stand with the toes lifted, the hind leg lifted, and take the edge of the feet, inner and outer, lift inner and outer edges. Good. And you know, if every once in a while you need to put the foot back down, the toes back down, do it. Breathe. Keep, as Moshe says, let the belly be free so the guts can sink. Yeah, sink. I thought I heard people hearing sing. Yeah, and then eventually, right? You can take a pause if you want, or if you're on a roll, then go forward and back. So once you lift the heel, and once you lift the toes, with the back foot lifted. Just imagine you're 7 years old. You know, you would always, if the minute you succeed at something, you want to try the next thing. So, not in school, but in physical movement, most of the time, right? Kids get something and then they try to set up the next challenge. All right, walk around a few steps and then do the see the same on the other leg. So with the back leg lifted, you lift the inner and outer edges. And it's a funny thing to watch differentiations that were so clear all of a sudden fall off the face of the earth. Yeah, this is too much. This is not everybody has to do the same thing. Okay. Yeah. forward and back really worked out very nicely for you. Yeah.
Great.
So just stand. Just stand. And just find maybe one person from this morning's displacement, attempted displacement exercise, or if you want, you can find more, but find one. If you'd like. If you don't want to, don't, right? But it's an interesting possibility to find if you're even... Because assuredly, that pelvis has found yet a different place to be on the legs. Quite an interesting reflection to have, you know, very fine differentiations show up as a lot of solidity. Mm-hmm.